Commissioners Court for Wednesday, October 22nd, 2025 at 9 a.m. begins here.
Started. This is a meeting of Franklin County Commissioners Court. It's a workshop. It's the 22nd day of October 2025 here in the courtroom in Franklin County. Scotty, you want to lead us to work?
Sure. Father, we thank you for this day, this glorious morning, Lord, for the cool temperatures, the rain you bless us with, just for all the many blessings you give us, we give you thanks. We thank you for our county, Lord, for all of our neighbors, families, and friends. Lord, thank you for where we get to live. We just pray that you continue to pour your blessings out upon this community, our state, and this country. Bless all of our allies and friends across this world, Lord. Continue to pray for Israel and just all the stuff going on there, the Middle East. And Lord, I pray today for us as we hammer out the details on this interlocal agreement with the city, to give us wisdom and understanding and all the questions and concerns we bring up, to help us to faithfully represent our community, our county. We ask all this in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Let's do it. Pledge of allegiance. United States flag.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Texas flag.
Honor the Texas flag.
I pledge allegiance to the Texas,
one state under God, one and indivisible.
Thank you. Alrighty, this is a workshop. If you have any public comments or anything, just let me know and we can talk about it as we go and everything. Kind of an open discussion on stuff. I'm gonna have Landon to kind of go over what he knows about this, and then we'll kind of go from there on where we need to go and what questions we need to ask and everything else. So,
she's printing off a different copy that was sent Friday that only changes the report section.
Okay.
Y'all were copying. I thought y'all were copying on it, but
Blake, was the city manager coming today, or is he not coming, or? He didn't say anything to anybody. Well, you're the most important.
Yeah, we'll figure it out.
I think that when this first came out, and I'll kind of get started on the conversation, I think there were some things that, smaller things. I think the one thing that, a couple of things that kind of stood up to me was the city was going to take priority on any costs. You know, if we're going to be $450,000, all 400, it ought to be. And that'll be up to you on the priorities of kind of calls. If you got a house fire versus a grass fire, I can understand that kind of priority. But as far as just picking a city over the county, I had an issue with that. Also, the volunteer fire departments, I think I talked to you about this. We don't have any say over the volunteer. We can't make them say, you're going to do this, you're going to, because they're their own entity. And so we kind of have, I guess y'all addressed that, did you, Landon? To that point of, if we had to, we would have to have an agreement with the voluntary fire departments also.
That was taken out from the first draft to now. They've edited that section just to basically say, and we can talk about it.
And this interlocal, this is the same, this is almost verbatim of the same interlocal that Titus County had with Mount Pleasant. This came from them. This is posted on the front page of their fire department website. So the majority of this stuff is just from them also. Yeah. And I think that city's attorney went through and changed some stuff on it. So,
okay. What else, Marlon? What else we've talked about? Those are the two main things that kind of...
Judge, so when you say priority, so what was my question? Like, if there's a call in the city versus a call in the county?
I think the way it was, let me see if I can find it that quick. It may not even be in this new one here. I think they took it out, but okay. It basically was the way I kind of read it was.
It said, I have a red line.
Right? Okay, yeah, go ahead.
It said the city is responsible for responding to all structure fires and motor vehicle accidents within the interlocal service territory when available. And it continued to go through each scenario and said when available. And so we struck through that and said which services shall be, instead of when available, which services shall be provided by the city in accordance with the city's standard operating procedures as amended in the city's sole and absolute discretion. So, and we have a copy of the standard operating procedure. I have looked at it from what I just got this morning. Basically, it's like, y'all respond as they come.
Yes, yes, sir.
So, they respond as the call is coming.
But you, but I understand the priority of a bad wreck. I don't understand if people's lives are in danger, unless it's a grass fire. Certainly, you're going to pull off a grass fire to handle to cut somebody up, burning car or
for sure,
car
for
up there. That's understandable.
Yeah, that's not, since I've been here, that's never been an issue in any fire service. Every call is prioritized. So I've been on calls here in the city on medical calls and called a call out in the county. And I'm like, you know, before EMS is even there, and as soon as they pull up, hey, this person, they fell, they're fine, we're leaving. Yeah, we load up, we take off.
That's just common sense takes care of a lot of stuff. I understand that, but and that'll be y'all's call, of course. I just didn't want the county to be of a lesser importance.
Yeah, and that's the only thing I would say is that it might be just the speech in it. It says, as amended in the city's sole and absolute discretion.
Right.
And almost like that gives carte blanche. It's like, well, you know, this is, we decided that the dumpster fire in City Mount Vernon is more important than a large passion.
Okay, here's the answer to that. I get it, but at the same time, the city can't do this without us.
Right.
Right. And so if they screw us,
right.
Yes.
They don't want to deal. So,
right. And we have
the discretion to change our standard operating procedure, and y'all can't tell us we can't change this manual as we go. Now, if they change it and say, never respond to the county unless whatever, then they're not gonna get our funding.
Because we're pay as we go. We're gonna be pay as we go anyway, so. My whole thing when I was reading is just that, it just seems like it kind of, we're putting a big chunk of money in there, and I just don't want it to be a situation where it, when we originally talked about it, I mean, I know we can't, there's no way that we've come up with a solution that it's gonna be a, you know, we're no longer Mount Vernon, City of Mount Vernon, we're no longer this and that. It's a Franklin fire district.
Fire, right.
And even then, we're still using some of the terminology of the interlocal territory versus City of Mount Vernon. That still gets us kind of into the whole thing where we're picking and choosing.
Mm-hmm.
And I understand that the city's paying more in taxes because they live in the city, but you know, we're our taxpayers, we're telling them we're putting up a large sum of money. We just want to make sure that we're getting everything we need out of that 24/7 fire protection. That's why that's how we proposed it.
Well, and I'm just saying this, I haven't seen that. I've never seen that before.
Right.
And I do apologize that this was, you know, a copy of Titus County. I don't know if you know, those of you that know Chief McCray, he wrote that. So he wrote the majority of that, and they're the attorney. So that's, I didn't, you know, when I read that stuff, I don't say nothing about it, because as a firefighter, that's not your priority. Your priority is the emergencies. So.
And Blake, I got a question.
Yes, sir.
Coming from a bigger city, mm-hmm. I mean, we got calls holding all the time. There's firemen out waiting on the freeway for the police to get there. There's always calls holding. How often do we have overlapping calls in the county and the city? I mean, in other words, do you just go from one place to another, or do you actually, is it irregular to have that happen?
It's not irregular. I mean, you're probably looking at, I'm gonna say 5% of our calls. We may have a call back to back or a call in another. Well, you just adapt and overcome, you call more people. That's really what you do. You don't hesitate. You don't, we'll finish this one, and then we'll go do this one. No, you get on the radio and you call dispatch, hey, I need to send some more people here. Most of the time in this county, because of the size, most departments are involved in the calls. And so then when you get what you get to show up, you need more people, they do a secondary call. That's part of, you know, working with dispatch. And that goes back to us, it's a big word, it's common sense. So you just ask for more people. Same in the Metroplex. If we're in Plano and we're running a call there in Plano and we got over overrunning the calls, then we call in Richardson, Frisco, McKinney, wherever that side of the city was. And that's where your, that's just your basic
mutual aid.
You know, that's your part. Now, I will say, it's no different here than it is in the city. The city of Plano did not want to call Frisco. Richardson didn't want to call Plano. Dallas doesn't want to call. It's very territorial because it goes back to what we're talking about. It's the liability and things like that. But here, you know, I told this to the judge, I feel like since I've been here, it's kind of working. I do work for the city, but also it's for the citizens of Franklin County. You know, it's all because of the size of it. So I don't see it being an issue, and I understand that. But yeah, we've had some overlapping calls, and it's funny how fast you can get something taken care of, and you'll take care of the next one. But it's not curtailed to, you know, a life or death situation either. We haven't had that issue. But the calls in the city are not prioritized over the calls in the county. So that's not, a call is a call. There are no, you know, for Mercy Call in Franklin County, there are no boundaries. So I want you guys to understand that. I know how it's written on a piece of paper, but it's, you know.
Yeah. And I think that the kind of way I kind of look at it, you're going to be in the position that the sheriff's in, being the chief of police and the sheriff over the whole county.
Yeah.
And it works. It works. It really does. And I kind of expect the same thing with fire departments of the county and the city and everything. And I think it will. I don't see a problem in the near future, but 10 years down the road,
right,
we don't know what's going to work.
And
we're still small enough now that it's going to work.
I've taken the approach that the fire service is very territorial, just like everything. Mm-hmm. So the chiefs, you got Eddie, Brandon, and Andy up north. So basically how we've done it, and so far it's worked. Nobody has wanted to change anything. So if Mount Vernon runs to South Franklin, Eddie being the chief there, that's his district. That's his call. Now he can pass that off and say, hey, you take care of the commander, you take care of the situation. Each call will be different. Something, it's a small grass fire, Eddie does it, or whoever. Mm-hmm. That's kind of how we've done it. And the reason I've kind of stressed that, in Hopkins County, you know, I keep reverting back to that. In Hopkins County, when we did that in 2000, the county fire department took over all the volunteers. That you would step on everybody's toes.
Mm-hmm.
So next thing you know, you had a disperse of volunteers throughout Hopkins County, and it's taken 25 years for it to slowly meander back in. So I think if you approach, hey, yeah, we'll happily go out there and we'll take over this scene, we'll take over this call, but right now my approach is to Eddie, and I was like, hey, we're here to help. You're getting two paid guys that are certified, fully certified, they know what they're doing. They're here to help you in whatever means you want. If you want to take over, then let them take over. If you want them just to do whatever, laborers. You know, we had a house fire there in South Franklin here just a couple weeks ago. And Engine 2 was actually first on the scene, you know, with the fire truck, which was really nice. It's a pretty good ways out there. And so when they got there, those two guys, one of Eddie's guys pulled up, and he kind of ran command and pumped the fire truck, and the two pay guys put their packs on and went in and started putting the fire out. You know, that's kind of how we have this situation. Every situation is going to be different. You can't make, there's nothing, especially in the fire department, every situation, every call is different. So you have to adjust and mold your priorities, how you do that. And so right now, everybody's kind of happy, you know, as far as running calls. Eddie seems to be happy knowing he's got two guys. So the other night we had a car, 3 a.m. car in the creek. Eddie was the only one showed up. Well, luckily the two guys showed up. You know, you have two guys that are there. And, hey, what do you need? Luckily the guy already climbed out of the car. There was no actual incident. Eddie said, hey, I know. He said, the road's my block. You guys go back to town and get ready for the next call. That's a great system. As long as we keep that understanding between each other, everything's going to be great. I think it's going to stay like that. Jim Emery is, you know, up north, he's always been a little bit cautious. He loves it, knowing he's got two guys showing up, that, you know, at least. And usually when I say two guys, it's whoever can show up, but it's at least been two guys every time. And I think they, first everybody puts their guard up, but now they realize, hey, they're just there to help. They're not there to take over. And they like that.
Yeah.
So.
Let them know that they're still in charge and y'all are there.
Absolutely. They'll defer to them. I can tell you this is exactly what, you know, we did this years ago. They did just the opposite. They took over and Hopkins County took over. Everybody's mad. Well, now it's just the opposite. Now they're the help and everybody understands that. So I think we should flip the switch and start the other direction. And so far, everybody seems content.
And I understand we need to make everybody happy, but the two things we should be more concerned with is number one, responding to anything like that. And I forgot what the second one was, but I'll think of it here in a second. But that's the main thing. And insurance. That's what I want to make sure people can start getting insurance.
Yes.
And we got a problem down the way. And if this will help them get it. Apparently there's several. You know, that's right. I was talking to you about it. Somebody called you about it.
Sure. And he's from Sioux County City.
Yeah.
I said, well, you know, that works out for you. We're trying, and we are. So November 7th, Amy Miller from Verisk. So Verisk is a company that's hired by the state of Texas to come into the ISO ratings. And so she was coming to the city of Mount Vernon because they haven't been done since 2014. And so I said, hey, can we do the whole county? She said, absolutely. So we're going to do the whole county. And I think by documentation, so she sent the packet out to Brandon and Andy and all them. So they, just by documentation, I believe we can drop it from a 10 to a 9. Mm-hmm. So that's going to help. That's going to help tremendously in just where companies won't just want to drop them. And then, so I've also got with him, and so I'll find out more from her, the fire district thing. Will this help us? Does it help us? Does it not help us? She can give us all that information, you know, because we can talk about this all we want, but she's the one that's going to write the number and do the check boxes on what we're going to be rating. We'll also do, and I've talked to the guys also, we'll do what they call a pump test. For each department, we'll do a pump test. And it's a pretty simple. We all have tankers, so that'll be pretty simple. And I believe that we can push that down from not only a 9, but down to an 8 or a 7, what they call a 7B, which will be another huge step for the county. But it's just, you know, that's going to take a little time because we're going to have to train to do that. And we'll have it. We have the resources in the county to do it. We just have to get out and get together and do that.
And this person's coming on November 7th?
November 7th.
So. And I've got the phone calls too on the people getting non-renewal notices. I mean, I got one. And there's a couple of companies that are good, but there's actually, I was able to find. I've got even cheaper. I was afraid I was going to pay a whole lot with being over. But I've got my premium, my new policy is going to actually go down. So it's going to be a ton of fun. People have to do more shopping. There are paid places out there that are right. So
yeah, I think it's guys. If you have the shopper insurance, a lot of people don't want shopper insurance.
Right.
I don't understand that, but it's going to change.
Right. Yeah. They have. I was surprised when my agent was able to tell me that it was going to bring the premium down. But he said there were a lot of people are pulling out like they are right now. There's also some of the ones that have been out of this market are coming back in. So, but anything we do to bring that ISO rating down, it's just going to help our premium keep going down. So it's a benefit.
Chief, can you speak to the staffing that you have? Not who, just how the staffing is, and are you at full staff now?
Well, I haven't hired anybody full time because I'm kind of waiting. I don't want to jump the gun if I don't need. But yeah, we'll have two. We've since October 1st, we've had two people there 24 hours a day, and so these are everybody there is fully certified as a TCFP firefighter and also departments, state Texas EMT or highway medical, and so they respond to all the calls in the county that we get sent on. Normally during the daytime, you'll see guys hanging out up there. So a lot of these are volunteers or guys that are just on their day off. Well. So the city also pays them pay per call. So if we get a grass fire, we've been several times, we've had five or six guys up there, we just send it all, you know, load it up. We'll try to leave with the engine or something here in town, but we all go. And the city, you know, the city pays that portion because I bumped him up to $25 a call because it's just a little bit more incentive. But, you know, it looks like a task force driving down the road and you've got two brush trucks and an engine and a truck. So
Sorry. We
go out there, we knock out. But yeah, two guys there right now with staffing, from what I have budgeted, is just two guys there 24/7, 365 days a year. And then January, I'm going to tried if everybody, my numbers work right in January, I'm gonna add a part-time person during the daytime. And so this will allow us to start going out in the county and starting what they call doing a pre-planning, pre-fire planning. So we go to some of the neighborhoods around the lake. I've slowly have been finding hydrants that are not marked on our maps that need to be marked. And so then I will contact the water supply company and talk to, hey, can we use these hydrants? So we can go out and flow these hydrants, get some numbers off of them. And as usual, if we have a fire, we have to go fill a tanker. All the firemen only want to go to certain hydrants because they know the ramp and the hydrants. But sometimes we can get these smaller hydrants and utilize them, but they're just some of them are off, they're too far off the road and you don't see them. And they work, we just nobody did over there. So.
Judge, I've got a few questions.
Sure, go ahead.
I'm sorry, I'm a little bit detail oriented.
Oh.
So, I've got a few things here that I noted last night as I was reading through this. On section 3B, that's the support from County Volunteer Fire Department. There was a statement here that I found interesting. And I'll skip to it real quick, so you know what I'm talking about, guys. Parties agree, acknowledge, and understand that the city and its provision of fire protection services necessarily relies upon and receives additional aid support, including mutual aid or automatic aid as appropriate from the County Volunteer Fire Department. The city, and this is a couple of words, shall endeavor to execute one or more separate agreements with the County Volunteer Fire Departments and to maintain the same during the term of this agreement, which agreements shall reference and not be in conflict with this agreement. And further, this is the important part, define the service responsibilities of the city and the county. That is a paragraph that says, if I'm reading this right, that y'all try to get this agreement that defines the role of the city and the volunteer fire departments, right?
Let's say that again.
Does this paragraph say to you that the city is going to try to get an agreement together that defines the role of the city and the volunteer fire department?
Okay. Let me give a backstory to that to you.
Landon, just a second.
Okay.
And what I'm getting at here is the word shall endeavor is not shall. It said we'll try. Okay, and just down in section F, it says during the term of this agreement, the county agrees to maintain agreements with the city, with the county volunteer fire department. So in that section, we're required to maintain those agreements. And up here, it says the city's going to try. And I think that the crux of this, if it works or not, is knowing what the respective roles of the volunteers are, as well as the city, since they're acting for the whole county now. That's important, and I think it merits more than we'll try and shall endeavor. That was my comment. Thank you.
So originally in the first draft, it had, like I said, the binding language. It said the county fire departments will provide automatic aid to the city with all structured fires, county volunteer fire departments will provide mutual aid to the city for about three other instances. And so I told them we can't bind. If y'all want to have a separate agreement with the county about what y'all's relationship on paper will look like, then y'all either need to do that separately or include that stuff and have each county volunteer fire department be a signatory to this agreement. And so they struck through and added the language in section B, I think. Let's see. That their intent is to try to enter into an agreement to clearly define what Blake's been talking about as far as when we show up, here's what's gonna happen, here's the protocol. Personally,
why can't we have the same language as we do in paragraph A?
Because we already have those. agreements with the volunteer fire department.
Okay.
We have interlocal agreements with the volunteer fire departments, or we have.
Do we?
I think we have agreements for the funding.
Oh, yes.
Basically just.
Mutual aid.
And so what they're saying is, hey, we want to make sure that the fire department, the volunteer fire departments continue to have agreements with the county for the funding. Because that if they have funding, it's more likely to help us in the event of a fire in outside the city. I see what you're saying.
I think that's the crux of the cooperation between the volunteer fire department and the city. It's a clearly written document that says we're going to do this and you guys are going to do this. But there's instances where chief, you can say on the discretion of the chief, the city will do this. I mean, that's okay. But I'm just saying that shall endeavor means we'll try to get them together. But I think it's important they sit down and understand their respective roles. Volunteer fire guys, you do this. City, you do this. But in cases where there needs judgment applied, then we're going to defer to the chief. That's what I'm saying.
I mean,
I should be.
If I was their attorney, I would not put into a contract between the city and the county a requirement of something that I did not know if it could happen or not.
So that's really what you're getting at, is you just don't know if you can get them.
Well, I mean, A, it's...
You can say yes, Lynn.
You don't, well, yes.
Okay.
But, I mean, I think that if I'm them, I'm going to say, hey, in a perfect world, we would have this agreement signed between the county and the city fire department, and then, not Siri.
Okay, I'll break you over the calls and up.
But, so that doesn't bother me. I think that was put in there saying, hey, we understand this document can't bind them, but we need to try to go to a document that clearly defines what their role is going to be from them. But we don't want to put in there that we have to, because what if we put in there that we have to and we never get a meeting, or they won't agree to what is a reasonable, I mean, kind of agreement. And so I get that they're saying, hey, we're going to try, but we're not going to put it there here that we will, or else that'll put us in a material breach before we even get this thing off the ground. But I mean, I'm also a little afraid of defining stuff too much, because it sounds like it's working right now. And when you start pulling the sheets back, you find some stuff you don't.
Right. I think that's really what I see.
Sorry.
I think that, Commissioner, I understand what you're saying. I think that a lot of this is just going to depend on it may not be on paper, and I know this on the legal side is a total, I don't look at that. I know
I'm finding there's a lot of stuff not down on paper.
So
I understand that.
Oh, yes.
So a lot of concerns that with the county, I think right now we're on a good path and we're trending up. I think, as far as the volunteer departments, I've seen a few volunteers pop up in South Franklin, a few more in North Franklin. So volunteers are starting to come around, and I think everything's trending on the up and up, and I continue to see it, to continue to do that. But I think the relationship that we have now, we've had chief meetings at the sheriff's office, and so far everything that we talk about has all been great.
Well, chief, I would just encourage you,
yes,
to try to make that shall endeavor.
Absolutely.
To yes, we can. We
yes.
Got it.
Well,
because it's in your self-interest to do that.
Absolutely.
Because you need to know the chain of command and responsibility and
right.
authority that you work within. Otherwise,
right.
you're out there just bouncing around like a ball in a pinball game.
Right. Oh, absolutely.
Okay. That's enough.
I guess the funny thing is, for 100 years, we've done the handshake, good old boy, hey, whatever,
yes.
and nothing was ever put down on paper. And here in the last, since COVID, I don't know what it is about COVID, but we've been burnt several times, not by y'all, but just in general,
yes.
about a lot of stuff, coming across. You better have everything, your eyes
right.
dotted, your T's crossed, and everything that you do nowadays. And it's sad that it's gotten to that point, but it really has. But I think that, personally, I think that this will work. I think that it's going to work. You know, we got it, it's a year contract. And after a year, we'll come back and look at it again. If something's not right, we'll...
Well, you can terminate it at any time.
That's true.
60 days for convenience.
Sure.
That's a pretty big, that's a big bull to switch.
We're not obligated to, we're unhappy after 2 months.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's an at-will contract.
Yes.
Exactly what it is.
Can I ask a question on dispatch? I don't know, this is pure ignorance on my part. Is that a big deal that the county is, shall provide dispatch services for the city and the volunteer fire department? We do that already now.
Yes, sir. Yeah, we do it now. To the city police and...
Okay.
We dispatch for them, too.
Everything, okay. I kind of thought that may be the case, but I had to ask.
They pay for two dispatchers, the city does?
Yes, the city pays for two dispatchers.
Yes, so...
Or reimburses us.
Yes. I've got another question here, and this is another, Chief, another question here. What's the $450,000 based on?
That's the $450,000?
What is that total cost based on?
Just an overall budget for...
Well, I understand, but how did you arrive at the $450,000?
I can kind of help you on that one.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
I guess it's...
The state of Texas.
What I was going at was, well...
That's all we...
The answer I was wanting to know, we did an analysis of our runs and our costs, and we just...
They needed more than that, but they're going to actually cut back to meet that. We can only, and Marla can explain this a lot better than I can. The state of Texas came in several years ago and really, here goes state of Texas again, and on every county and every city in the state of Texas said you can only go up 3.5% on your budget or 500,000, whichever meets that.
That's based on population.
And that's based on population. So 500,000 was maximum. Well, we didn't really cut a lot. We only had 500,000. So this year, Marla did it, and I'm gonna let her explain it more to you. That's about all we could give was 450,000. So if they gave 450, we gave 450. He was really needing about what, 1.2 million.
Right.
But this year and next year, that'll be our base for next year. We won't be penalized on that 450,000 because it'll be part of our budget now. Now I'm gonna let her explain a little bit more.
So 1.2 was your
original.
What is that?
That was the overall budget. That was
for your total budget.
That's what I got a total budget. But so you got to understand, Commissioner, we have four fire trucks there. Our newest fire truck is a 2010. So our trucks are...
You're running antiques.
Yeah.
Yes, sir. So part of that was to try to replenish, try to upgrade some of our trucks. Also, when you were asking that question, so like year to date, so the Mount Vernon Fire Department has run 981 calls, city and county. In the county, or in the city, we ran 381 calls, and in the county, we ran 429 calls. Now we have also with it, we have 165 calls that have what they call no zone.
Hey, Chief, I don't want to make you go on and on.
Okay.
Marla just handed me this and explained, and that I understand exactly how that number came about now.
Sometimes we forget, Commissioner, that you're coming in on the back side.
I'm asking that question because there's a lot of citizens that are going to say, what is this deal?
Mm-hmm.
And I've got to try to explain it. Mm-hmm. And then some of them that may be sitting here in this room need to hear that so they can tell their friends. Well, that's how it came about. We're paying our fair share of those services.
Yes.
So I need to figure it out how you came up with the 450, and it's a percentage of your total overall budget. And I understand that. So that's what I'm doing.
Mm-hmm.
And you'll understand that sometimes I ask these questions just so we can get it out there and everybody can hear it.
Yes, sir.
The answer to it. I mean, that's
awesome. No, they're great questions. No, they're great questions. And I will say this, Sandy, we haven't, we haven't paid our portion over the past several years. Now, is the county government responsible for fire services? No.
That's right. No,
they're not in any way, form. You know, he's talking about somebody suing us because they can get after all of it. We're not responsible for, like in the Texas Constitution, we're responsible for the Sheriff's Department and law enforcement. We are responsible for that. We're responsible for county roads. We're responsible for a lot of things. But fire protection is not one of them. But we all feel like that it's for the good of the citizens of this county.
And when
we did this, what's it called? EDC, not EDC,
ESDs.
People didn't understand that everybody above 65 was going to get their taxes unfrozen, and that 10 cents tax raise, it'd be cheaper on us to go up 3% in the county than to.
I'm incoming on the end of it.
Yes, and
so, but
that's where we.
Y'all need to take advantage of that fact, my ignorance.
No, we're good.
No, because it allows y'all to educate everybody.
Yes.
By explaining some of these little things that you know that people are going to hit you on. Why are we paying $450,000 for fire? Why are we doing that? So that helps me understand, but also other people.
Yeah.
So I'll have a couple more questions like that. But.
Yeah. We did have a big meeting upstairs, and I think that's the reason you're not hearing a lot of complaining from the citizens about this, because they do want fire protection, and the people, especially out that lake, when they can't get insurance.
Well, if they say you can't get insurance,
they're upset, and they know that this will help them, so they're not complaining. And it's a lower tax on them to do it this way than it was to go through the emergency service district and do it that way.
It's much cheaper, I would tell you.
A lot cheaper, yes.
I know that.
But now, who knows what the future brings if more people come in that we may have to.
In the future, as we grow, as the growth from the Metroplex comes out this way, I just my personal opinion, I think at some point we will be looking at a specific district to cover fire and maybe even EMS service.
Yes, yes.
And that's just my opinion.
Yes, and we cover our ambulance service. I guess we've got 100% of that. We're
it's 138,000 a year.
Yeah, and we don't ask the city to do that for everybody in the county, and that's just something that we put in the budget years ago to cover that. And we also have a chance to the state on a grant to get an ambulance.
You always throw that in.
I hope it's bigger than 2010.
Yeah, I think it'll be important. But
I do have a question. This is again my ignorance. You have to excuse it. Do we respond when there is something, an accident? We respond with an engine and an ambulance? Is that normally the way?
So the fire department responds with an engine.
Do y'all tag EMS and say we've got
the sheriff? Dispatch will
say. Oh, so they do that?
Yes,
okay.
Sir.
Okay.
Yes, sir.
But do your engines run? They have, what type of leads do they have on the machines out there? Fiber or?
So we don't have.
You don't have any
life packs. We don't carry those.
They're
$30,000, and the EMS will. They don't. So we're staying right under what they call a first responder. If you to start carrying equipment like that, you would have to pay for that stuff. You'd have to start billing and stuff, and we don't do that. So that's all left up.
I signed a few checks for that stuff.
Yes, sir.
It's very good.
We'd love to have one, but we can't. You know,
But the people have to be trained as EMS techs too. Well, that's the question. I just simply didn't know. Somebody asked me. I don't know.
A majority of the guys that work up there all work in other cities over the Metroplex, mm-hmm. Texarkana, top. They work around that, and they do that. They're your full time departments, but we just don't do that. We just run basically to assist the EMS in a lot of their calls. But we still do the same. We provide the same service. We just don't carry the equipment. The medical equipment is so expensive. We're just tackling the fire side, you know. So.
So my next question is, do you have any applicants?
I do have like 16.
Really? Good. Great.
And our pay is, you know, I don't know if you the pay is not. It's average with we've used like Mount Pleasant, Hopkins County, Cooper, couldn't use old friends ever could, but our pay is pretty much so it's not way up there, but it's still
I'm assuming they're all certified firefighters.
Yes, sir. In order to apply, you have to be a certified firefighter and EMT or higher to the state of Texas.
I do have a question for Marla.
You don't put me on the spot.
I have to put Landon on the spot there.
Yeah, then you already got him.
In the contract, it gives the option of payment, and which one suits?
The end of the month.
So 12 months?
It'll be 12 months. That way, if something does come about that someone wishes to terminate the contract, then nobody has to worry about refunds or anything else.
That's exactly my thinking. I'm glad to hear that. But on the liability, there's several places in here. Landon, overall, are you satisfied with the provisions put in here to protect the county and its liability?
Yes, and they did accept out any gross negligence, which probably would be accepted out even without language to that effect. But, and I can pull up 352.04. My recollection is that I pulled and this tracked the language of the statute.
I have it.
Yeah, I mean, that it tracked the. It says in the section, person fire protection includes traveling to or from a fire, the act of a person who, in carrying out a county's authority to provide fire protection, furnishes fire protection to a county resident who lives outside the municipalities in the county, including the act of a person who is a regular employee or firefighter of a municipality, is considered to be the act of an agent of the county. The municipality is not liable for the act of its employee in fighting fires outside the municipality under a contract between the commissioner's court of the county and the governing body of the municipality. So the only thing so this says that anything that happens in the county for them responding to a fire or any other call in the county, we have the liability out there. Now, as opposed to them getting that last section, notwithstanding the foregoing, added in there, if somebody's driving an engine and is drunk and plows through 21-115 and kills a family, we need to, that's not us, but I think even under we'd be protected just under, I think, common law. I think basically if they're out in the county fighting fire, we're responsible for any liability other than gross negligence, which is what the law says we have to be responsible for. So, look at you.
I had that from the beginning.
Gee, I know this is one of them deals, but are y'all looking into a new fire truck? I know we discussed it.
I had not explained to him. I thought I'd let you.
Okay.
So we have options. I think, as I'm sure you guys would like options also. So the state of Texas just awarded $192 million to the fire departments, or the Texas Forest Service did. That was just last week. And so South Franklin received a $300,000 grant for a tanker. Now, I don't know what any of them will come up with, but that'll do a huge dent in trying to purchase a new tanker. North Franklin received a brush truck, and that'll be a big $800,000 for a brush truck. And then Mount Vernon received, we got $300,000 for a tanker. Well, that grant was put in for in 2013. And technically, we don't have any place to put a tanker. Now, we could take that money and put it toward something else, but you're limited on what you can purchase because the state says this is what you can buy with tonight. So I had kind of given a proposal to the judge and to Marlinson and try and say, hey, we don't need a tanker, but we could we desperately need some sort of an engine, and so we would have what they call a tender pumper, which is basically an engine with 1,000 gallons, which the white engine we have now, the newest truck we have, that's exactly pretty much what that truck is. It holds 1,000 gallons. And if there was a way that we could get with the county, if the county's interested in doing this, because I know the county talking about buying a truck, giving that grant, basically giving that, I say giving that, but letting them use that $300,000 for the purchase of a new engine. And this would kind of be an engine to help run in the county. So that would decrease the county's cost $300,000. They'll benefit there, the city benefits by there. We're going to get a newer truck. Now, the only stipulation is to Texas Forest Service, that truck has to stay with the city for 10 years. So these are things that we can work out later on down the road, but that's an option. I told the city manager, I said, you know, we could take it, you know, we could take a tanker here in the city, but we don't have anywhere to put it. And we have islands. So, you know, a lot of times cities don't have tankers, you know, those use it out in rural areas. We couldn't just give it to the county and let them use it somewhere out in the county. It has to stay. Texas Forest Service has had to stay within the city. So these are options. And what we were going to do, the city was going to build another option, was to turn around and we also got $45,000 for a skid unit. So we were going to build it. I was going to sell. I'm trying to sell off my older trucks and upgrade. So I think that's huge because we've spent a lot of money in maintenance. And I've already almost maxed out my budget for this next year on maintenance already. So we were going to turn around and build another truck, and this would be a smaller, not like an engine, but it'd be a smaller Ford F-550 truck, and it would be kind of like an attack truck. So a majority of these calls that we run in the county, especially medical calls, you don't need an engine. You don't need an engine that's going to run 4 or 6 miles a gallon. You know, you need something that's going to get a little bit more. Plus, it's more, I think, more economically friendly for that. Plus, cities like Fort Worth and cities like Dallas, that's kind of what they're doing. They're buying what they call mini pumpers. These are Ford F-550 trucks that are run around instead of running these big $1.2 million engines. They're using smaller trucks to run a lot of these calls. And we would remember them do the same thing. Hopkins County just bought a smaller truck, and that's kind of what they're doing. So the city would take, we would end up selling a couple of trucks, selling one of our brush trucks, trying to build another truck, which would be kind of a county truck. It'd be it's an all-terrain type truck. But that will run on a lot of our calls, but it'll also carry 500 gallons of water, pre-connect, it carries air packs. It'll carry a combi tool or a rescue tool. So if we are out of medical call somewhere and we do catch another call, we're not empty-handed, you know, we're not called. We still can still respond to that call, but we're still obviously we need more volunteers to show up. So these are options that we've looked at, and something if the county be interested in doing that, and how we can make it work. But yeah, the goal is to try to upgrade some of our trucks. Because if you'll, engine 2, which is that truck was purchased in 2004, and it was $211,000. That exact truck right now is $1.34 million. That exact truck.
The fire service is kind of like rent. It just keeps on.
They've had a congressional hearings on with these fire truck manufacturers and wondering why are fire trucks, especially since COVID, why have they more than doubled in price? And the response from the manufacturers, well, if you're giving out the free money, we're going to take it. You know, so it's a, so that's what they're doing.
I think everybody's talked about that for years.
Yes.
I remember complaining about it 25 years ago. But the reality is you issue specs for the machine, right? Certain types of specs. There's no general. Each department issues its own spec.
Yes, sir. So what I've looked at is, for trying to save money, is what they call a stock truck.
Yeah.
So if you order a truck, say, let's just say Pierce. Pierce right now is the number one manufacturer worldwide for fire trucks. They have a $5.8 billion backlog. So if you buy a truck from them, if you spec a truck out, you're looking anywhere from 2 to 3 years before you even get it. But they have what they call stock trucks, which these are trucks that just roll off an assembly line like a car, and you basically can add a few little things to it, and you take it as is. Well, those trucks are quite a bit less.
Crank down windows, you know.
Right. They don't have all the frills, but they still get the job done. And that's what we have right now. The two trucks sitting there in Mount Vernon, engine 1 and 2, are both stock trucks. And they've worked for 20 years.
Well, that equipment costs are a problem. I mean, it doesn't just stop at the vehicle, it stops at all your gear and everything. It's always increasing in cost. I've never seen it go down. And so, we just know that's going to happen, guys. Mm-hmm. It's like material cost for road material. It's going to keep going up.
I'll say, Judge, you're talking about the ESD in the future, and I'm not, don't want to throw anything, but I will say that I've looked at some numbers, and if the industry that has talked about coming to this county comes to this county, an ESD at 2% would be sufficient. So you think about that, and do those numbers, it would be huge, and it would take your EMS and your fire completely out.
Well, if all these companies are going to come that says they're coming,
yeah,
we shouldn't be hurting from them.
Well, no, I agree.
We really should in the next 35 years. I'll probably be retired by then, and I won't get to see the goodness of the...
I sure was wanting to play Santa Claus, but I'm not sure I'm going to get
to see it. And it will bring down property taxes a little bit. If they all come and say...
Right.
But I'm from Missouri, so I gotta see it to believe it.
It's not what your daddy says.
Yeah, so... anybody else got anything on this? On the fire stuff? So you're good with us Monday to the passes, correct?
Yeah. Oh, sure.
we have drug this along for a while now, so we...
Landon, do you have any concerns? Are you
good
with it? Okay.
I can
do it well.
Yeah.
Well, like you said, if something blows up just dramatically, we can get out of it.
Yeah.
And a year from now, we'll re-up this again and possibly move up, like I said, our base will be set, that we don't have to get penalized for $450,000 on top of that building up. So it'll be better next year to help fund it a little bit more and everything else.
I didn't know if you wanted to tell them where you want the refrigerator.
Right.
They're on their way.
Okay.
Yeah.
This is a very, very, very small footnote to what we're talking about here, but Blake goes with me sometimes. We're scheduled to go Saturday to Sterling Shores. We're meeting with the HOAs and trying to cut down on questions and cut down on rumors and what's really going on. So we're mentioning to everybody what we're doing, holding that, hope we get the questions down for you guys, especially in the South and the judge. So we're trying to educate people a little bit better of what we're doing. Mm-hmm. And they understand that it's not going to be tomorrow. But if we were making an effort. So I get probably 10 or 12 calls a month, about all this and what's going on. So we're trying to educate folks. But like I said, it's just a footnote that's underlying what's going on with what y'all are doing today, and we are trying our best to educate the people and these are nice little bit. So just keep that in mind. If you get a question, send them to me.
It's kind of like I told Blake when he first showed up. I said, when it comes to firemen, everybody loves firemen. Everybody don't love the police anymore, but they all love the firemen. Everybody loves the firemen.
They don't know how they won't treat me.
Yeah, I know. You're kind of a little bit of both, aren't you?
And I will tell you, gentlemen, Judge and I got a call from North, and they are looking to, they're trying to get a quote on a brush truck, and they're going to use their money from this year as the down payment. We gave each one $50,000 to spend for a capital purchase. So they're going to use their money, if everything works out all right, for their down payment for that. And I told them that was fine. But I needed an actual quote.
And then on your truck, what do we need to do we're going to do a 7-year note on the truck they're trying to do, or? What am I trying to say here?
I'm paying for y'all. Time framing thing that we're looking at, because he was going to get a quote and see exactly where, what, how, and when, and then come back and talk to us, and then we'll go from there.
Okay.
But there is one thing. Yes, ma'am. You probably need to speak to them about, you talked about the fire districts and your lady coming to talk about that. You might explain to them how that works.
Yeah, I said, Amy's coming on the 7th, over the 7th, to meet with, I guess, that morning. And I believe she's going to make phone calls or go visit Eddie and Brandon that afternoon. But yeah, we talked about the fire district, and when I kind of mentioned that to her, she said, well, let me see what we got, you know, kind of. Because I wanted to, I was trying to do that as a nice, to drop by, so. And so I kind of want to see what she thinks on that. And she said, you know, you could do it, but what the benefits you guys, what would you look? But she's going to take the, she'll take all the information from Mount Vernon, all of South Franklin, and North Franklin, and Purley, and she'll put all that in there. And if it helps us on ISO wise to say that we're all one fire district, and so be it. You know, she's the one that needs to make that determination. So that's part, that'll be part of our discussion on Saturday also.
All right. What else we got on the fire department? Any other questions? Questions? While we're in here, might as well. Voting is going on right now. I know it's not important to some people on these. It's voting. It's over. There's like 20 different. I went voting today. Yeah.
17.
Well, you're going to drop, go from 100 to 140,000 on your homestead.
Mm-hmm. So on the school side.
On the school side.
Yeah. Everybody's just.
Well, that's the biggest one anyway. 65%
of our stuff.
Scotty, thanks for the. On the Winsburg building, he striped it the other day. We also got the air conditioner taken from the sheriff's office, the old jail, one of them, and they moved it. It's working good. They stole two air conditioner things. He was there for. He thought they were going to put it on. I said, well, they bring the old units or something back up here to these
days. I don't know what kind of healing they
were. Hey, we got our. Crime Stoppers, Crime Watch program going on good. Our
the West Annex looks great.
West guys. Annex, I was going to say, looks good. It looks good. It's holding, correct? Yes, what y'all know so far, it's going to hold back here on the backside. Mm-hmm. I drove around there.
I hadn't driven back there since they redid it. Yeah. I drove the first time.
And I will have to say on that, I mean, thanks a lot to the other commissioners. I kind of like I told Sandy, I said, we didn't call them because we wasn't because we were trying to leave them out. It was just we had enough people up there to do. But I want to commend these other two commissioners for, and their guys for all the help and doing it. I think it did turn out good. We're going to sweep it one more time this next week and it ought to be good to go. You pat yourself on the back, Scott.
Which one?
He did.
Both. All of them.
The one that did all five.
Here we go.
One thing, Paris and I are working really hard to find an alternative to our health insurance sign-ups. We still have not, as of this morning, the portal is still not open. And so we are looking at alternatives because we have to have it completed and in our system by the 31st, which is next Friday. And we haven't even got it out to the employees so that they can make their elections for health, dental, and life. So, no, we are working behind the scenes trying to figure out what alternatives we can go to. Because I'm not sure they're going to get the portal up.
And even if we do the paper, we still have to put it in our site.
Yes, so and we can't.
Because we can't do anything.
The portal's not open. Even our portal for Talisa to go in and add new employees has been closed. For whatever reason. It was a mistake on a check that we did not.
One box got checked,
and it shouldn't have, and it threw the whole thing.
And the reason we also found out, I think there were some questions over our insurance being more than Hopkins County is on HMO, correct?
Yes. Beth did a comparison. She called several counties, and we are in comparison. Hopkins County is cheaper because they have an HMO option, which we are PPO. They have a PPO as well, but the employee must pay the difference if they wish to have a PPO. Titus and Camp, their plans are a little better than ours, but in essence, it's pretty much the same because the county pays the $2,000. To where on the employee or we're on the out $500 as a deductible. Their deductible is a grand. It's $2,500 now, I said 2,000, but it's 20.
And we went up on our emergency room $100 to get our premiums a little bit lower. So it keeps our employees from going to emergency rooms, they can go to the urgent care.
What insurance company is it?
TAC. It's the pool through TAC.
Oh, pool. Okay. Mm-hmm. Gotcha.
And all of these people are on TAC, and they're all fully insured for a time. They're not any of them. I thought Titus was partially self-insured, but they're not. They're all, all their insurance is through TAC, 100% funded.
All right. What else?
You said a minute ago, if all the industry comes to the area, can you describe what industry you're...
Lithium, man, the main thing. That they're all talking about the lithium plant coming in.
Yeah,
that's
that lithium. Is there anything else that's on that in works or anything? Or?
Not the aluminum place, but that's in Titus County, but that'll bring jobs over here. It won't help our property tax stuff. It'll maybe help build more houses and stuff here. But no, the lithium, pretty much by itself. We're sitting on the biggest lithium in the United States right here, right underneath us. So we'll see. Like I said, I'm from Missouri. I got to see it to believe it. So, but they know it's down there because we get calls all the time.
All right. Did you ask the sheriff if they moved into their new dispatch
room? He's working on a console. I asked him about yesterday.
Okay, because I knew you were talking about that.
Adcom.
I'm not sure. I thought
yeah, they're just waiting on the console because Adcom paid for the console and they're just waiting for it to come in. That's probably like everything else. They're kind of like fire trucks. It's just, it's government. It's government stuff, so they're going to really rape us every time they can.
I know. Y'all will be so excited. A generator was up and running.
Yes, oh yeah. we got a generator.
Yay!
A free generator cost us $150,000.
Is that a year and a half later?
About a year and a half.
It's been almost a year and a half, yeah.
Do we buy any of our trucks through Kubota? Do we ever use them to buy anything from Kubota? Kubota? Is there anything that y'all need to get from that kind of place?
Good.
Well, because there's a person that I know, she works there, and she said that she would give us really good discounts if we ever need any of that stuff. So if you do, we can always get other quotes to help us.
Where are we looking?
They're in Terrell.
Free generator? That kind of gave us a free generator.
That took a little bit to think in.
Yeah,
the free generator.
Be careful. I mean, we could have bought a brand new one.
No, we still
have one.
We should be up.
But yeah, that kind of had one. They got an old nursery home.
I bet it's across the whole thing.
And the one we had,
it was all my hairs.
That's about it. Our computers went down and everything. But now
it's just better. It's just been a chore getting in.
It'll control the whole courthouse now. So.
We'll be up and running. And the reason we even started all of this endeavor was because when we went a week without electricity, we couldn't function up here. We had one plug and one light on the generator that we had. So we started trying to put, now we have a generator out at the East Annex and the hub where we can cook.
But at least the bathroom
were backed up.
That's right. Took me a minute on that one.
Speaking of which, we gave the generator, the old generator, to Precinct 1 for the community center.
Yes, there. Did.
So you might be checking to see where they are with that.
Well, that's right.
I just needed to add to your list.
This might somebody else.
I have seen that gift.
It's old because it come from here.
I have yet to look it in the mouth. I'm afraid.
Oh, that's somebody new.
I'm afraid.
Yeah, I'm going to next guy do it.
I've had years experience with diesel generators.
Yes, that's why we got rid of the one we had.
Oh, man.
Now it's a natural gas, thank the Lord.
And
actually, just for information, a lot of cities, bigger cities, are going to turbine
gas turbines.
Really?
Powering their generators. Because gas is always, pretty much always available.
Yeah.
And a gas turbine will produce power, and it's got a 100,000 hour overhaul.
Wow.
Which is way beyond it. Mm-hmm. And you don't have to worry about the fuel clogging up and all that kind of stuff. They're still expensive because of the precision manufacturing, but that's where everybody's going. Did you get it?
Nope.
We had it got so cold that one year when the electricity went out, it wouldn't crank because the diesel froze.
It jailed up.
Yeah. We went out to the truck stop to get some of that stuff done. Yeah. And all the truck drivers done got done. So we were, once again, in a mess. But you live and learn, don't you? You live and learn.
I wanted to have a pit stop or.
All right.
Keep going on. We've got three more things to talk about.
Okay, go ahead.
I'll see y'all later.
Motion to adjourn.
Second. All in favor say aye. Thank y'all. Thanks for good questions, Sandy.
Yes.